Geraldine had turned and fled the room, disappearing down the stairs and leaving all of us feeling seriously awkward as Max ran his hands down his face and groaned.
Oh, fuck my life.
Did she say arranged marriage?
Darcy stepped forward and tugged Max's hand from his face.
Yeah, she told me about it a while back, but they've been keeping it a secret so that they can fool around with other people for a while. I was hoping to get her to pick me instead. And the other night, after I saved her from High Spell, we went back to my place and she kissed me. I guess I stupidly thought that meant she was changing her mind.
He looked so fucking defeated that I didn't even know what to say, as Darcy glanced back over her shoulder in the direction Geraldine had taken.
Let me go and make sure she's okay to go ahead with the plan.
She took a few steps towards the door, then paused.
I'm sorry, Max.
The moment she was gone, Seth stepped forward and wrapped his arms around Max. He looked so damn hopeless. Who is she marrying? I hated seeing him in pain like that. I swear it seemed like none of us could catch a fucking break at the moment.
Justin Masters. Oh, he's a great big royal ass licker, and I guess that's all she gives a shit about.
You want me to accidentally barbecue him the next time I see him in my dragon form?
I heard he's got a hot sister who graduated before we came here. I could bang her and make a sex tape. His family wouldn't seem like such amazing royalists if everyone knew she'd been sucking air cock.
Let's not do anything too hasty. No need to go whoring yourself out, Cal. Let's just fuck the guy up and threaten his balls until he agrees to break it off. No cock sucking required.
Sure.
Caleb glanced at Seth, then looked to me quickly.
Not by the master's chick, anyway.
Stop flirting, you two. You're just making me feel worse about my shit.
Flirting? I glanced at Seth as he shrugged innocently.
I can't help it if all of my friends are stupidly hot and I like to suck the odd dick from time to time. But if you guys ever want to ditch the girl drama and build a sausage-heavy harem, then I wouldn't take a whole lot of convincing.
His gaze fell to my bare chest for a moment before he looked at Cal again and winked. Right. Well, as much as I like brunettes, I'm currently hooked on one who needs us to chase her into a cage and drug her. So shall we get on with that?
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. I'll go check that Darcy and Geraldine are in position.
I nodded to the others as I hoisted myself up and out of the hatch set into the roof. I stripped out of my shoes and jeans, tossing everything down into the treehouse before taking a running jump off of the roof. I shifted into my enormous dragon form, my golden scales catching the light of the setting sun. I refused to focus on all the things that could go wrong with this plan, and instead set my mind on the small pinprick of hope that it was going to go right. That I might just be about to get my girl back, and we were finally going to strike a blow against my father that could really make a difference. Because if this went to hell, I was out of fucking ideas. And I didn't even want to consider what that might mean for Roxy.
I stepped out of the orb after dinner with Mildred at my left and Marguerite on my right as the two of them prattled on about wedding dresses, and I tried not to feel sorry for myself because it was a Sunday. 5 whole days before I could return to my king. I knew it had to be this way. But 5 days had never felt so damn long.
I'm more concerned about practicality than flamboyance.
Mildred scoffed at some comment Marguerite had made.
The main thing that matters is that it comes off easily for our wedding night, so that I can produce a fine dragon heir for the next generation of Aycruxes. Oh!
My fist snapped out so suddenly that I wasn't even certain when I'd decided to strike her. But as my knuckles collided with her bristly jaw, a dark smile pulled at my lips, and the shadows in me stirred with hunger.
What the?
Mildred rolled her shoulders back and bunched her muscles as the dragon behind her eyes glared at me like it wanted to bite my head off.
Go blather about weddings somewhere else.
Shadows slicked down my arms and pooled around my fingertips.
The shadows are hungry, and if you don't fuck off, I'll let them feed on dragon tonight.
Catch you guys later!
Marguerite gasped before scurrying away, but Mildred wasn't so smart.
You might be important to the king, but I'm going to be an Aycrux before long, so you do well to remember that I...
With a flick of my fingers, I sent her sprawling back away from me, driving the shadows into her chest as she squealed like a stuck pig.
I'll be telling the king about this!
The king doesn't care about you.
I advanced on her with my eyes full of shadows and pleasure-tracing patterns down my spine.
You're just a walking womb with dragon blood in your veins, and guess what? You don't need legs to give birth. So I suggest you listen to me when I tell you to run from me, or you'll be finding yourself without the necessary limbs to comply.
Mildred shrieked in pain as I drove the shadows deeper into her. But before they could get a true hold on her, she shifted, tearing through her clothes and expanding in size so rapidly that all I could do was watch. She roared at me in her mud-brown dragon form, swinging her head around to glare down at me with beady eyes set deep in the scales of her head. The shadows rolled over me as I stood my ground, my heart pumping furiously as I felt fully awake for the first time in a long time, and Mildred released a blast of dragonfire right at me. The shadows rose up in a cloud to meet her flames, and my eyes lit with hunger as I fought to control them, their power almost overwhelming me. An enormous roar broke through the air, drawing my gaze skyward as a golden dragon, five times the size of Mildred, dove from the sky and collided with her. I sucked in a breath of fright as my gaze fell on Darius and the echoes of 1,000 tortures bit into my flesh. Memories of pain and suffering surfaced in me at the sight of him, and the fight went out of me as I pulled the shadows close defensively. As the dragons tumbled across the path, a torrent of students appeared from the orb to watch and scream in shock, so I took off. I strode away with the shadows curling through my fingers as I took the path into the Wailing Wood and left Mildred and the other dragon behind. Though I tossed more than a few glances over my shoulder as my brow furrowed with concern over something I couldn't quite place. I tugged my atlas from my pocket so that I could just look at the screensaver of my king for a few moments, but a notification flashed up on it, which I'd been tagged in.
Tyler Corbin.
Looks like love's young dream isn't so sweet after all. At Darius Aycrux was just seen swooping in to give his fiancée, at Mildred Canopus, a beatdown dragon style in the name of love for his true mate, at Tori Vega. This young Pegasus saw it all go down, and I swear, Mildred still has that mustache in dragon form as well as that pig snout. Anyone else think she might have some pig grandparents hiding somewhere? For all that the great and honorable King Aycrux has to say about pure bloodlines, you'd think he might have noticed that the Canopus family have been boning farm animals. Hashtag I saw trotters, hashtag he won't wanna pork the pork, hashtag I bet she hogs the covers, hashtag Jurassic pork, hashtag Porcosaurus Rex, hashtag pig in a wig.
Stacy Denny. Someone needs to wrap that pig in a blanket and roll it off a cliff. Desiree Bass.
She's Mildredful. If Darius Aycrux has to marry her, then I'll never forgive the stars.
Alexandra Lanaville.
This little piggy went wee, wee, wee in her panties when Darius dive-bombed her. Hashtag send that piggy to market.
Stacy Braum. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on that farm, he had a Mildred E-I-E-I-O with a mustache here and a big wart there. Here a hair, there a hair. Everywhere a bear hair. Hashtag E-I-E-I-Ho.
Jessica Glosson.
She's so ugly, when her mama dropped her off at Zodiac, she got a fine for littering.
Jody Fleming.
Mildred takes so many Feyroids, she'll probably be the one impregnating Darius on their wedding night. Hashtag peen queen, hashtag dragonatrix.
Laughter suddenly escaped me, and I frowned as I tried to figure out why. But my atlas started ringing before I could give it too much consideration. I pursed my lips as I saw Clara's name illuminated on the screen, but answered all the same. She was never far from my king, so there was always the chance that I might hear his voice in the background of the call, even if he hadn't wanted to speak to me directly.
Yes?
I kept my pace up as I moved deeper into the woods.
Daddy has a message for you. We're going to stay in the city for the week.
Why? My gut lurched at the idea of him being even further away from me.
Ugh, you always have so many questions. Ugh. Nosy, nosy. I have half a mind to ask Daddy to let me punish you again next time you're home with us.
My jaw clenched as I remembered the way Clara had made me suffer whenever I failed on her instructions with the shadows. But I didn't back down. It may have been agonizing to allow her to force them so deep inside of me, but that was also exactly why my hold over them was so strong. Besides, the punishments always put my king in a good mood. So if I had to suffer to please him, then I would.
I just need to know where he is.
You know the way the bond makes me ache when I'm not close. This was the one thing that we could always see eye to eye on, so she finally gave me what I needed.
He's got some information on a network of Tiberian rats who have been trying to flee the Nebular Task Force rather than face the Inquisition. We're going hunting!
The glee in her voice was unmistakable, and I sighed with relief. Okay, but you'll be back at the palace when I return on Friday?
Maybe.
My grip on the Atlas tightened to the point of almost breaking it.
Clara!
Lionel barked in the background, and my heart soared at the sound of his voice, even if it was rough with irritation.
We're leaving! Now!
Have you delivered the message?
Can I speak with him?
Sorry! Daddy doesn't want to speak with you right now.
I could hear the smile on her poisonous lips.
But don't worry. I'll make sure he enjoys his time away from you so much that I'm sure he won't miss you at all.
Clara, just let me tell him. I hurled the Atlas away from me, letting the shadows blossom all around me in a thick cloud. Until the force of their power drove deep enough into my skin to take my fury away and left me trembling with the pleasure of their power. I closed my eyes, tipping my head back and just bathing in them for a long moment.
Well, shit, babe. If I'd realized what a turn-on the shadows clearly are to you, maybe I would have understood why you love them so fucking much.
Seth's voice broke through the heady fog of the dark power within me. He was standing between the trees, butt naked, and holding a leaf over his cock, which didn't even come close to hiding it.
Made you look.
A crash of raw power slammed into the shield at my back.
Fuck!
I was knocked to my knees, barely managing to keep my shield intact. I twisted to look over my shoulder, finding Darcy hovering a few feet above the path, while fiery wings burned brightly at her back and her blue hair billowed around her.
You should probably run.
A blast of air magic slammed into my shield again. I snarled as I managed to regain my feet, but Seth threw his own air magic at me from the right, and I stumbled towards the left side of the path between the combined strength of their power as it drove against my shield with undeniable force. Max stepped onto the path ahead of me, and as he directed his own air magic at me too, I was left with no choice but to turn and run into the trees on my left. I stumbled between the thick trunks as their air magic increased in pressure. The trees all around me bucked and swayed wildly in the maelstrom they were creating. I ached to stand and fight them, unleash the full strength of the shadows on them. But my king had made it clear I wasn't to attack the heirs or Darcy while the country was still adjusting to the new leadership. Outside of enforcing the new laws, he didn't want me to engage with them, and I couldn't bear to disappoint him again. So I turned and fled. I ran through the trees, and for a moment, I swore I spotted a blur of movement to my right, and then again ahead of me on my left.
Fucking vampire!
The assault of air magic didn't let up behind me, though, so I had no time to focus on what was ahead. And with each moment that passed, my magic was being stretched to its limits as I fought with everything I had to keep my shield in place. The trees seemed to open up ahead of me, a clear path free of debris on the ground appearing and allowing me to run faster as I took it and upped my pace. The shadows writhed beneath my skin, but I kept my focus on my elemental magic even as I burned through more and more of it while pushing everything I had into maintaining my shield as the wind continued to ram against the back of it. I cast a ball of fire beside me to replenish my magic, but the moment I did, the ground bucked beneath me so hard that I was thrown up in the air. I forgot about the flames and threw everything I had into the air again to stop myself from face-planting the smooth path ahead of me. My magic was seriously depleted as I made it back to my feet by some miracle and continued to run on down the path, taking a turn to the left as it curved that way. The trees and bushes either side of it, far too thick for me to try and break through at this speed. I suddenly found myself at the top of a steep hill, and as my boot landed on the path again, my foot slid out from under me, and I fell onto my ass. But between the sharp decline of the hill before me, the slick ice and the never-ending gale at my back, there was no way for me to stop myself from sliding straight down the hill at high speed. I threw my arms out ahead of me, trying to slow my fall with air magic, but the dull ache in my chest warned me that I was almost out, and I knew there was no way I was going to be able to fight off the three assholes at my back now. Just as my magic reserves guttered out, I crashed through an illusion, making it look like there was nothing ahead of me, and was propelled straight into a heavy metal cage. I hit the bars at the back of it hard, smacking my face and hearing bone crunch before the agony of the injury even reached me. I rolled over, scrambling back towards the door, with blood dripping down my face. But before I could even get close, Caleb shot into view. Geraldine stepped from the trees, a triumphant look on her face even as tears streaked down her cheeks. I crawled forward and threw my hands towards her. Shadows burst from my palms as I directed them through the bars of the cage they'd trapped me in. But the moment the dark fog got close to the metal, it ricocheted back at me, sending agony burning all the way down to my bones.
That cage is made of night iron. The shadows can't pass through it, and every time you try to force them through, the power you use is going to strike back at you instead.
Darcy landed, just as Geraldine melted the ice on the path ahead of me, out of existence. Her wings dissolved, shifting back into her fey form, and making sure there was no chance of me replenishing my magic from her flames. Seth appeared next, wearing sweatpants now, with Max stalking over to stand on Darcy's other side, his face set with determination, and my atlas in his hand.
When my king hears about this, you'll all pay.
My gaze shifted between my sister, Geraldine, and the heirs before realizing that one of them was missing.
That's a risk we're willing to take for you, sweetheart.
Caleb cocked his head as he looked down at me crouched in my cage. I couldn't even stand up in this thing. And when I reached out to grip the bars, they burned my shadow-coated hands until I felt the skin melting on my palms. And I was screaming in agony again.
Stop, my lady!
I wrenched my hands back, panting and sweating, my body trembling with the pain.
Let me out!
Darcy shook her head, her eyes wet with unshed tears, but her expression firm and unyielding.
You're not coming out of there until you're yourself again.
I shrieked in fear as I looked up through the bars of my cage and found Darius diving from the sky in his golden dragon form. His gaze was set on me, and the fear I always felt around him intensified as I found myself so helpless before him. The cage juddered as his weight collided with it, and I fell flat on my back as his enormous claws wound around the metal bars above me, and I was suddenly lifted into the air. Darius flew me up above the trees, and I felt a concealment spell sliding over me and my cage, as one of the others cloaked my presence from below to make sure no one spotted him kidnapping me. The flight didn't last long, and Darius landed awkwardly on the roof of King's Hollow before ripping a hole in it and depositing my cage inside the central room in front of the unlit fireplace. I scrambled for the door of the cage as he released me from his golden talons and managed to force the shadows back enough to lessen the pain in my hands as I worked to break the lock open.
Crap!
But the thing was sealed up tight in some way I couldn't even begin to figure out, and the longer I worked at it, the more the flesh was burned from my body wherever I touched the metal bars. Darius dropped down into the treehouse in his fey form, and I scrambled back in the middle of the cage. As I watched him warily, my gaze shifting over his powerful, naked body as fear swept through me, and I wondered what the hell he was going to do to me. He grabbed a pair of black sweatpants from a chest at the side of the room, then turned to face me, his face pinched in pain, like he wasn't happy to find me here. But that made no damn sense.
What are you doing?
I was fighting not to show him how much pain I was in. Even as the blood from my nose dripped over my lips and flooded my taste buds, and the scent of my burned flesh filled my nostrils.
Will you let me heal you?
No.
I growled because if there was one thing that could make my situation worse right now, I knew that it would be allowing him to lay his hands on me. All Darius Aycrox ever caused me was pain, and even just looking at him now made my chest ache with the memory of lightning slamming into my body and burning me alive from the inside out. Caleb shot into the room before Darius could say anything else. He looked up at the destroyed roof before lifting his hands and using his earth magic to fix the damage Darius had done to fit my cage inside.
I take it she won't let you heal her?
He acted as if I wasn't even here, and I narrowed my eyes on him, trying to figure out how I could get myself out of this.
Caleb?
I looked up at him through the bars as he turned to look at me in surprise.
I don't want him near me.
Darius's posture stiffened at my words.
That's just the shadows talking.
Caleb gave Darius a look I couldn't read, but the dragon clearly could, because he clenched his jaw, then stalked towards me. I instantly shifted back, using my hands and feet to propel myself along until I knocked against the rear of the cage. The shadows burned me where the bars came into contact with me. The only part of the cage that didn't burn me was the solid base, but as I pressed my palms flat to it, it felt like it was trying to suck the energy from my freaking soul. So I had no desire to push any power into it, just to have it stolen.
Roxy.
Darius dropped down into a crouch and looked at me, with his brow creasing.
Please stop looking at me like that.
Like what?
I hated how vulnerable I was right now. My whole body was coiled with tension in anticipation of what I knew he was going to do to me, now that he had me at his mercy. It was all that I could do not to cower and to keep holding his gaze.
Like you think I'm about to attack you. I fucking love you, Roxy. Why the hell would you think I'm going to try and do something to cause you pain?
I tried to take in what he was saying to me, but the moment I considered his words, the sharp echoes of the pain I knew he'd caused me echoed through my flesh in a keen pulse that made me wince as it bit into me. Darius tried to reach for me and I scrambled back again. Hissing between my teeth as I was pressed against the bars of the cage once more.
Fuck!
He lurched to his feet and stormed away from me. He threw the couch over as the temper I'd known he had snapped.
Darius!
Caleb barked as my skin howled in pain from the contact with the bars, but I refused to move even an inch closer to him, knowing it would only be worse with him.
Calm down! What the fuck is wrong with you?
Darius threw me a pained look and shook his head before storming towards the door.
I'm just making it worse by being here. I'll go and see what's taking the others so long.
Caleb looked torn between going after him and staying with me, and I slowly eased away from the bars as I watched him come to the decision to stay. The look he gave me was pitying, and the shadows rose up in me again, murmuring sweet promises into my ears, reminding me that this was my chance to escape. A door slammed downstairs, and some more tension slid from my body as I realized that Darius really had gone.
Caleb.
My voice was low, but more than enough for a vampire.
Why are you doing this to me?
He turned his dark blue eyes on me, moving to lift the couch back up again before rounding it to stand before me.
I know this is confusing right now, Tori, but I swear to you, this is for the best. When you reclaim your phoenix, you'll be able to fight the shadows back. Then you'll be able to think more clearly. Remember—
Lionel told me that the things I've forgotten cause me pain. That's true, isn't it?
It's not that simple.
I could see him wavering a little, watching me closely like he didn't know what to think. So I wet my lips slowly as I tried to push him to help me. If I could just make him see how I felt now, surely he'd realize that this wasn't right. Surely he wouldn't keep me locked up in here.
Please. Caleb, don't do this to me.
I let him see how much I feared what they were planning.
I'm happy now that I'm bonded with my king, and nothing you can do will sever that bond. Besides, I want the shadows. I need them. Please don't let them take them from me.
Caleb dropped his head into his hands.
You're not yourself right now, sweetheart. But you will be. Soon.
Anger burned through me, hot and wild. I lunged toward the bars, throwing the shadows at him with everything I had so that my whole world was consumed in a thick fog of darkness. The impact they made with the bars had me screaming in agony within moments, but I refused to back down. I'd been reborn in suffering and pain, and I could push through this torture to escape the fate they decided for me. But the bars held. I slammed down onto my back as my power ricocheted into me. I began to jerk and convulse with the magic I was wielding as it was driven into my body, and the pain felt like magma running through my veins. But I didn't stop. It would be so much worse than this if I stopped. If I failed my king, then the torture I would endure would make this pale in comparison. Memories of that stone room echoed around my mind, of the jars of lightning and the metal tools that had carved into my flesh over and over. Darius had done that to me. It was all Darius. Every time I thought of him, or woke calling for him in the night, or screamed his name while begging for his help, that was what I'd gotten in return. He'd never come for me. He'd abandoned me to this fate.
I can't let him take me. I won't.
I threw so much power at the cage that the whole thing shook and rattled while I jerked on my back, until the darkness that surrounded me swept me up and devoured me whole. And I was finally free from all of it as I fell into a void of nothing. Heat slid beneath my veins, thick and potent and full of too many memories for me to fully comprehend. At first, I recoiled from the intensity of the flames, receding into a corner of my mind that was safe and dark and wrapped in shadow. But the stronger the fire grew, the harder it became to shield myself from it. I lurched away from the fire, but there was no escaping it, no retreating from this thing that seemed to be living inside me. When I was certain I was going to burn up in the heat, my eyes snapped open. A small puncture wound in my bicep.
What did you do to me?
I scrambled back. I touched the bars of the cage again. I slapped a hand over the puncture wound, looking around at the sea of faces surrounding me as my heart raced.
Back up.
Max's hand landed on Geraldine's arm, tugging her back a step as she sobbed.
She's freaking out, and she's about to lose control of her order form.
Shit!
Seth caught Caleb's wrist as he pulled him back too.
Look at me, Roxy!
Darius called from my right. He was too fucking close to the cage. A blaze of heat raced along my shoulder blades.
She can't contain it! Look out!
Max yelled something, and more energy than I could possibly contain rose up within me. My body detonated into a ball of fire, wings tearing from my back and making the cage explode around me, shooting the metal bars out in every direction in a spray of deadly projectiles. For a moment, I was paralyzed in fear and panic, but in the midst of it all, the call of the Phoenix Fire in my blood centered me, and I found a girl between the flames, her body coated in fire like mine, and her arms outstretched to me in a silent plea, "Tars." I collided with her, with a sob escaping me as she pulled me close, squeezing me so hard I was sure I would break, but I didn't, because I had her, and she was all I'd ever needed. My tears turned hysterical as I clung to her, my brain unable to concentrate fully on anything other than how much I'd been missing without her, how much I needed her, and how much less I'd been altogether.
You're okay, Tor.
I wasn't sure how long we clung to each other like that, practically forming one body, two halves of the same whole, just the way we'd been born to be.
You're okay, Tor.
I slowly became aware of the fire around us dying down as the tears stopped sizzling from my skin and my phoenix withdrew, sinking within me again, though staying close to the surface as it chased the lingering shadows aside.
You're okay, Tor.
Darcy was saying it over and over as she held me tight against her and stroked her fingers through my hair.
Is she under control again?
Seth's voice drew my attention and I turned my head slightly, finding him standing within a dome of ice that Max, Geraldine, and Darius were all maintaining around their side of the treehouse to shield everyone. Behind us, the entire place had been blasted apart, and flames still blazed throughout the branches of the trees in the forest beyond.
You're okay now. You're okay now. Aren't you, Tor?
I blinked up at her, drawing back a little as my brain tried to catch up what was happening. I was left feeling like I had to wade through a layer of cotton wool to even understand the words everyone was throwing at me.
My lady, you may have my clothes.
Geraldine stepped forward as she began to peel off her shirt, making me realize that I'd burned all of my clothes off in the shift and was crouched naked on the floor with my arms wound tightly around myself. Darcy had clearly had the presence of mind to protect her own outfit when she shifted, so I was just the naked-ass chick that everyone was staring at. Embarrassment clawed at me, and the shadow slithered beneath my skin, offering me some reprieve from this feeling. But I resisted their call, looking at my sister and finding all I needed to center myself in her gaze. Max caught Geraldine's wrist and tugged her back before she could take anything off.
Don't crowd her. She might blow again.
My skin prickled with the touch of his siren gifts, and I glanced at Darcy nervously as she gave me an encouraging nod.
Max will help you, if you'll let him.
I was trembling with weakness from the injuries the cage had given me, and my brain felt so close to cracking that it was all too tempting to accept. But as a huge figure moved in the corner of my eye, I locked up. Darius took a step towards me. My phoenix rearing up beneath my skin protectively as fear skittered through me and I tried to scramble back away from him.
Here.
He offered me a hoodie from the chest of clothes that had been somehow undamaged. My magic had been replenished a little by the flames of our phoenixes, and I threw an air shield up before Darius could move any closer, recoiling into Darcy's arms.
Shit. Darius, I think you should leave.
What?
His eyes flashed with a clear refusal, and his muscles rippled like he was on the verge of shifting himself. I pushed more magic into the shield, and Darcy caught my chin, turning me to face her, as healing magic slid beneath my skin and eased some of the aches in my flesh.
You don't need to be afraid of Darius, Tori. He's not like his father. He'd never hurt you like Lionel did.
Lionel doesn't hurt me.
I pushed out of her arms.
He heals me. He loves me. He's my king.
Geraldine threw her hands over her eyes.
Oh, sweet heavens, have mercy. My lady has been beguiled by a lying lizard and tricked in the most hateful way.
No, Tori. He's not.
Darcy sent a blast of magic at the shield I'd created and shattering it before using air magic to take the hoodie from Darius so she could deposit it over my head. I pushed myself to my feet and it hung down to my mid-thigh, a cedar and smoke scent coming from the fabric that made me feel a little safer, even as I hurried to back away from Darius.
You have your phoenix back now. You need to use it to burn the dark coercion out of yourself.
My gaze slid to her as I opened my mouth to tell her I wasn't under the influence of any coercion. But the moment I thought about it, the phoenix within me flared to life again, rising up and shifting beneath my skin. It blazed a path of destruction through command after command that had been placed on my mind, until I was crying again with the relief of the chains being lifted from my psyche.
What the fuck has he been doing to her?
My gaze darted between all of them as I found myself totally overwhelmed by everything.
Roxy?
Darius stepped closer again with a hand outstretched in offering. But the moment I looked at him, my heart leapt and pounded with fear again, as the memories of so much agony burning through my flesh overwhelmed me. Him. It was all him.
Stay back.
I almost called on the shadows again as I found myself without magic once more, and at the mercy of this fierce creature before me. Darius's face tightened, and something in his gaze seemed to shatter as I looked at him with fear in my soul so deep that I wasn't sure I'd ever be able to escape it.
Everyone needs to go. Cal, Seth, and Jerry, fix the walls before you leave, then make sure the forest doesn't show any signs of damage from the flames. Darius, you just need to go. I'm sorry, but she can't be around you. She's fucking terrified of you. It's overwhelming her.
I'm not a man to be hurt again.
A stab of pain lanced through my flesh at the darkness in his tone.
I'm sorry, man.
Max grabbed his face, forcing him to look his way.
But you being here is... it's hurting her. I don't know what Lionel has done, but every time she looks at you, she feels physical pain as well as terror. If I'm gonna have any chance of fixing this, you can't be here. I hate to tell you this, but the more you're around her at the moment, the worse you're making things for her.
Darius gritted his jaw, looking like he could feel that pain in himself as he turned his dark eyes on me, and I tried not to flinch this time, but I couldn't help it.
Is that true, Roxy?
He looked like he wanted nothing more than to close the distance between us, making me want to scream and leap out of the giant hole I'd blasted in the wall just to escape him. I didn't reply, but I didn't deny it. And that seemed to be enough to break his resolve, as grief flashed through his gaze, and he nodded stiffly. He turned and strode for the exit. Seth howled as he chased after him, Caleb only hesitating a moment longer before he raced out behind them. And I relaxed a little, as their dominating presences left. Geraldine was still sobbing while patching up the wall like Max had asked, but my gaze moved to the siren as he slowly closed in on me.
I think I can help you, Tori.
A sense of calm and understanding washed through me as he approached, his gifts filling the air around him and drawing me in like a gentle embrace.
I don't know if...
I began, but Darcy cut me off.
You can trust him, Tori. He'll help you. Please just let him.
My gaze met my twin's eyes, and I found so much hurt and pain in them that I found myself nodding, just needing to do something to alleviate what was making her look at me that way. Memories of our childhood were bubbling up in me until I felt like I was overflowing with them. The good, the bad, the downright fucking miserable. And yet no matter what we'd experienced over the years, I had always had this one burning light right beside me, like my very own star set to guide me back home always. Darcy, my other half, my one truest love.
Okay.
Max took my hands in his.
We'll figure this out. Okay, little Vega?
He caught my gaze with his deep brown eyes, and for some reason, I really did trust him.
All right.
I need to do this with her alone, so that my sole focus is on her emotions at all times.
Darcy looked ready to refuse, and Geraldine threw an arm over her eyes as she sobbed loudly.
You'd better bring my lady back to me, you prize pufferfish, or I'll cut your fins from your fanny and throw them in a fire!
Max rolled his eyes at her, smiling warmly at me as his fingers tightened around mine, and he continued to push soothing emotions into me.
I don't want to leave her.
Look!
Max broke my gaze as he turned towards her.
Your sister has been through something seriously fucked up. I can't even begin to explain to you the complexity of the emotions she's feeling right now. But if you want me to have even the slightest chance of reversing this shit, then you need to get the fuck out of here. And let me show you, my sirens are the best fucking order there is. Because right now, I'm pretty sure time is of the essence. Her mind is fractured and malleable with the shadows pushed back and all of that dark coercion broken. But every moment that passes, more and more of the things she's feeling are becoming fixed. So, do you want me to help her remember who she was before that motherfucker got his hands on her? Or do you just want to stand there and fuck up her chances?
Darcy glared at him for a long moment, then shot me an apologetic look.
I'll be back, Tor. Just as soon as you're ready to see me again, I'll be here.
I nodded as she grasped Geraldine's arm and tugged her from the room. Their footsteps disappearing down the stairs as Max and I regarded each other. He stepped up to me and took a deep breath as he reached out to cup my face between his large hands.
Don't fight anything, Tori. Just feel all of it, and I promise, I'll help you figure this out.
My heart was racing with panic and fear, and I was filled with the desire to bolt and the urgent need to see my king. But as I looked into the depths of his brown eyes, something in me settled. And though the tears tracking down my cheeks didn't slow, I managed to release a shaking breath that seemed to hold the weight of the world on it. And then I gave myself to the hold of his powers and let him sweep me away on a tide of pain and heartache.
It had taken me more than 5 hours of just sifting through the memories of pain and fear that filled Tori's mind before I'd even be able to get down to the roots of them. Lionel had done a damn good job of forcing her to associate every moment of torture he'd inflicted upon her with a memory of Darius. I'd gotten a clear look at so much torture in her memories that it made me feel sick to my core, and bile kept rising up in my throat as my gifts allowed me to feel every single second of it. I could have shied away, refused to absorb the worst of it, and protected myself from it. But she needs this outlet. I was certain of it. She needed to work through each and every time he'd taken her down to that room beneath the Aycrux Manor and played out these dark and twisted fantasies on her. If there had been any doubt in me at all about the depths of Lionel Aycrux's depravity before, then there was absolutely no illusions left in me now. He hadn't just cut, burned, and electrocuted Tori until she couldn't even scream anymore. He'd reveled in it, hidden deep within the memories of her pain, There had been more than enough visions of his eyes gleaming with excitement while he made her scream and cry out for mercy. He'd just forced her to think of Darius time and again until she believed those memories were of his eyes, that it had been him doing that to her. It had taken me the better part of the day to realize that he'd been using a cyclops to assist him with a lot of his cruelty. He'd taken every dark and pain-filled memory she held of Darius, from when she'd first arrived at the academy, and twisted the knife in the pain she felt over them until she was bleeding from the inside out. And then he'd found all of her good memories too, beating her down over and over again until she couldn't protect them anymore. Though I was surprised to find there were a few things hidden within her mind still. She was still resisting my attempts to get her to unlock them, but each time I guided her thoughts and feelings toward them, she seemed a little closer to looking at them than the last time, so I wasn't giving up. We'd moved into my bedroom within King's Hollow after the first time she'd blacked out with the memory of the torture she'd endured, and I barely caught her before she cracked her head against the hard floorboards. I'd carried her in here and laid her down in the bed beside the fireplace, where I was carefully rebuilding the fire every time it went out. Using my gifts on her like this drained her magic as I fed on it, and she needed to keep replenishing her stores to keep up with how much I was taking while we worked. I was heady in the richness of her power, and had had to take breaks several times to empty myself out by throwing a gale of wind into the forest outside or casting a river of water just so that I could continue to draw more from her. She was curled in my arms, her head resting on my chest as her limbs trembled with the memory of pain that had crashed through her over and over again. I couldn't help but feel like the monster who had done this to her in the first place, as I kept using my gifts to draw this pain out of her and force her to give me every single piece of it. But I knew it was the only way. She needed to release herself from it, needed to look at it clearly and without the taint of Lionel's lies shading it in falsehoods, if she was ever going to be able to move on from it. I wasn't even going to let myself think about what it was doing to me. I was using the fullest extent of my gifts with her, and she was opening herself up to them, letting me fully immerse myself in her memories so that I could actually watch them play out like I was there myself. I rarely pushed so deep into anyone's mind like this. But if I wanted any chance at all of fixing what had been done to her, then I had to. I closed my eyes as I pushed my power into her again. Her cold fingers fisted in my shirt. I felt the sharp kick of electricity slam into my chest as if I'd been there too. I could taste blood in my mouth as she bit her tongue while she jerked and spasmed from the pain of the strike, and the hard bite of the leather straps which held her arms and wrists in place on the wooden chair she'd been strapped to in her underwear set panic racing through my limbs.
"Who do you love?"
Lionel asked while Clara hung off of his arm, smiling as she bared her fangs.
"You."
My voice became Tori's. I became Tori as I relived her memory.
"What about my son?"
Lionel moved aside as the Cyclops stepped forward, and I shook my head desperately.
"No, please."
He had thick black hair which hung long over his shoulders, and a wizened face with a jagged old scar running through his left eye, which had left the white stained red with blood even though the wound was clearly old. He called it his Shadow Eye, claiming he had the ability to see visions of the Shadow Realm as well as our own. It was clear that Lionel believed him. His pupils were so dark, they looked black. And as he turned his gaze on me, I shuddered with fear, knowing all too well what he was capable of.
I hate him. More than anyone I've ever met, all he does is cause me pain.
But I didn't feel those words.
I felt Darius' arms around me as we lay in his bed. And he held me like he never wanted to let go. I felt the way my heart pounded when he looked at me, and I remembered the way he'd promised to fight for me.
"Liar, liar."
The Cyclops reached out and ran a finger down my neck between the valley of my breasts before hooking it around the center of my bra and tugging lightly.
"Hands off, Vard."
I shivered in relief as he saved me from the Cyclops' wandering hands, and he released me with a flicker of irritation on his features.
"Just do your job."
The seer gave in to Lionel's command, rolling his neck in that way he always did before he shifted and making my pulse spike with fear.
I like the pretty jewel she's wearing, Daddy.
Claire breathed in Lionel's ear, pushing her hand into Lionel's pants.
Now that you mention it, Clara dear, that necklace looks familiar to me.
They looked at the ruby necklace Darius had given me, and I recoiled into my chair even though I knew there was no escape.
If you like it, then you can have it.
Clara grinned excitedly, but Vard moved to stand before me, capturing my attention once more as I tried to figure out who I should be fearing the most in this room. Vard smiled toothily as his dark eyes slowly slid together, forming one huge bulbous eye in the center of his forehead, and I snapped my eyes shut, scrunching them up as I tried to protect myself from the invasion of his mind into mine. Clara leapt up onto the back of the wooden chair I was strapped to and grabbed a fistful of my hair, pulling hard enough to make me scream before peeling my eyelids open with her dirty fingernails digging in hard enough to make me bleed. Her other hand yanked on my necklace as she scrambled for the clasp, and I felt her tug it free just as I lost the battle to keep my eyes closed. Vard caught me in his gaze, and within a moment, the slimy, intrusive feeling of him slithering into my mind overwhelmed me, and I swear I could feel his hot breath on my neck as he spoke inside my thoughts.
I've seen a future where I get to touch you as much as I like, little dove. Where my king will gift you to me and send you to my bed as often as I wish, in reward for all of the visions I've gifted him. Did you know your daddy gave me my scar? I'm going to enjoy paying his daughter back for it, over and over and over again.
Vard drove that point home with mental images which made me gag, with actual bile rising in my throat. And if I'd had anything to eat today, I was certain I'd have been vomiting all down myself. Just as I felt myself start screaming at the imagined scenario playing out in my head, Vard's gifts shifted beneath my skin, and he spoke a single name inside my head.
Darius Aycrox.
Before I could do a single thing to stop it, my mind whirled to the moment I'd thought of earlier. Of me wrapped in Darius's arms in his bed, of how warm his skin had felt against mine, and how safe it had seemed there. But as I rolled over, I found Darius glaring at me instead of the sleeping, half-smile I almost remembered. His hand snapped out, and he locked it around my throat as he pinned me down against the bed, ripping open the shirt I was wearing while I fought and bucked beneath him. I couldn't scream, his grip on my throat suffocating and refusing even the slightest noise to pass my lips as he smiled cruelly and slammed a fist down into my chest. The moment the punch landed, the force of a thunderstorm crashed into my body, and I shrieked with pain as it burned me from the inside out, thrashing against the vision of Darius in my mind and the straps which held me to the chair in reality. My brain tried to keep hold of what was happening, what was real and what was a lie, but everything was blurring together as Vard used his powers until all of it merged into one, and the cruelty in Darius's eyes was the only thing I was truly certain of, alongside the agony in my flesh.